Oh, he had the above all that Paul speaks of here. Above all, taking the shield of faith, child of God. That's your armor. Above everything you dare to take, faith. Put faith in God. Put faith in God. Put faith in His promises. Put faith in the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross, for deliverance. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All, you say? No, wait a minute now. Some may be, some days most may be, but all. Oh, beloved, do you believe God or the devil? Answer God now, every one of you, in your heart, not with your lips. Do you believe God or do you believe the devil that tells you that sin will always reign in your immortal body? Tell God, He's looking at your heart. So is the devil looking at you. Tell God whether you believe you will always find that sin reigns and has dominion over you, and that you will always, no matter what God's done on the cross, no matter how more powerful Christ is than the devil, you will always yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. As you have so often when the devil comes to you. Tell God whether you believe that if you take the shield of faith, you will be able to quench, annihilate, as it were, annul any effect, all the devil could ever try and aim at you. Or is God exaggerating? No, God, that's a bit exaggeration. Paul took a chance there. Maybe with Paul, but not with me. Tell God whether you believe He's a liar. And the cross, the risen, resurrected power of Christ, as you rise by faith to His risen power to deliver you. Tell God whether you believe Jesus can keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. Tell God whether you believe that. I want you to answer God. If you're not here for God, what on earth are you doing here? If you're here for God, please answer God right now in your heart. You tell God whether you believe Him or the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, God says. You know why? You resist the devil, God is obliged to make the devil flee from you. But you have to resist. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, not the man that gives in and says, oh, what's the point? Without any hope, you just do what the devil tells you you've got to do. Blessed is the man that endureth. Do you resist the devil? There's a point God says He will never suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. God's holy name is at stake. He has a holy obligation to make sure that if you believe that He can deliver you, even if you're tempted, temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. He had no sinful nature and no sin. You'll be tempted if Christ was tempted. But temptation is not sin. There's a point you yield, and there's a point that God will make sure you don't have to yield. If you just resist the devil, God will make sure the devil flees from you. Hallelujah. Listen to these words. 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children. Now that's not speaking to little boys and girls sitting here. It's the aged John now writing with great wisdom and compassion and love. My little children, to all the children of God. My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's only half of a verse. Now, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. Jehovah's Witnesses can only quote half of a verse. They dare not quote the other half, or it doesn't make sense what they're saying. So, we got to be careful now, we holiness people. And I talk to the holiness groups now. You might cry out loud and clear that ye sin not, but don't be like a Jehovah's Witness that your doctrine crumbles by the next half of the verse. If you're going to quote the first half of the verse, for God's sake, quote the next half, because God needed to give them that too. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if, child, any man sins, any Christian, while he's enduring, if somehow, while you're in victory, that while you're sinning not, if on your road to the celestial city, having turned and God is keeping you and you're walking with God and you're walking in victory as your faith, if with all the powers of hell against you, somehow the devil gets you to fall, don't you give up now. Get up, God says. You don't dare give up. You have no right to give up. Because God says get up. You're defying him if you don't get up. Get up! Get up! Get up! Don't you be down there! You failed, yes, but we have not a high priest which cannot be moved with the feeling of our infirmities, which is in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. Wherefore, you see, he understands, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Don't you be down there. I said, come boldly, I'll give you mercy. I've been tempted too, and I'm a high priest that can make intercession because I know just what you went through, though I was God manifested in the flesh, and you are not. Oh, this high priest cries out to you to trust him with a perfect love that casts out all fear, you know. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man, any of you children sin, if somehow the devil gets you to sin or fail, don't you give up. Get up! We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Christians can have failure. God says, it's possible. It's not the end of you. You have Jesus standing at the right hand of God making intercession for you. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sin. That word propitiation means the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, on the altar, there was the mercy seat. To come to God for mercy, Jesus is the mercy seat in heaven. He's literally the way to mercy for Christians. For God's people. We have an advocate standing in a court of law, you know. You pay a man to stand there and defend you from things that you've been accused of. And we have someone who paid the price for you to be totally forgiven. And he's there ever living to make intercession for you. Do you honestly have fear that he's going to throw you out if you fall? Oh, beloved. I don't know how many of you have heard of George Thurber. George Thurber was the man saved in Billy Graham's meetings many years ago, 1953, when God really used him in London. And that man took up what we call Operation Mobilization. He took big ships, boats, whole vessels, ocean liners, trusted God for them, put printing presses on them, took youth from different countries of the world over the years, one nation after the other. They printed as they were going millions of tracts in the language. And when they got there, those youth would go onto the lands. And just from the time they arrived, having open airs from the ship and going through, well, he came to Cape Town with the ship, the old Dewlas and the... Well, he had different ships. He came along, and the one meeting was just for young students, theological students or preachers, missionaries, full-time preachers in Southern Africa. And oh, that ship was filled, the auditorium about this size on the ship. Phil, to hear this man, all people in full-time ministry. And he shook us, you know. He spoke to us like we were children. And some of the great theologians of South Africa were sitting there. There was a great Major Alistair Smith, Captain G.S. Dobby, men whose names were just revered. Well, he spoke to us like we're children. I'll never forget a young student as I listened to this man. And I looked around and these great theologians were gripped. Like a child is gripped when you speak to them. Oh, it was wonderful. You know what he told us about this thing of if you fail, if a Christian sins? I'll never forget. I was a young Christian right there in theological seminary, and I sat there listening, and I never forgot what he said. He said, listen, concerning failure and God's compassion and what God has said concerning failure. He said, one day you look out of the window and you see these dark clouds building up. You hear rumbling and then lightning. And you think, oh, there's about to break a terrible storm. And as you see the rain starting, you see a man walking past your house. He hasn't got a raincoat on. He hasn't got an umbrella. And he's looking up. He didn't expect to be in the storm. When he left home, he didn't know he was going to face a storm like this. Otherwise, he would have come prepared with a raincoat. He's taken by surprise being in this storm. Well, he panics. The rain just comes down like buckets. And he's like, oh, this poor man. So he starts running. What happens? He slips, but a boom, right on his face, you know, pow, in the mud. And whoa, he slept. He's really in troubles in this storm. He's fallen. So you run out, you've got an umbrella. Oh, sir, you've fallen. Come, let me help you up, sir. Please, come, let me help. I'm so sorry you fell. You know what the man says while you're trying to help him up? No, I'm not getting up. I've fallen. No good trying again. I've fallen. But you've got to get up. You can't just lie there. I'm not getting up. I'm not going to go on. I've fallen. Oh, but this is mad. This is madness. I mean, you're shocked. I mean, this is... How can a man reason like that? But do you know how many Christians are doing that? Exactly. Same words. Oh, they're going, they're walking with God, and suddenly they fall. The devil gets them down. What's he got his foot on them as they're in the mud, and he keeps them down there. I've fallen. I'm not going to go on. It didn't work. That's it. The promises from this book that led you to Jesus Christ, the original deliverance, as he did. Now you take your eyes off this book that gives you more promises. If you fall, once you say, don't give up, child. Get up! For God's sake. Because he says, get up. I'm not giving you up. I'm not giving you up, child. How can you give up if I say get up, if you fall? Why didn't you put faith in my promises further? Not just faith for salvation, but now if you fall, the same God promised that once you're saved, if some other devil gets you to really failure, get up! Confess! We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us. You know, Jenny and I, we have three boys. Remember your first child? My firstborn is not here tonight, but I'll remember each one. There's little Samuel. Oh, I can't even see my own children. Isn't it terrible? Anyway, and there's Roy, but then there was Noah. He was the firstborn. Now, when he was born, you cannot believe the joy I had and Jenny had. He couldn't crawl, by the way, let alone walk. I didn't expect him to walk. That would be a bit much to ask. But he couldn't crawl, but he was my child. He was mine. He was born. There was a birth that came from my wife and I. God did this miracle. He was my child. He was alive. He was living. He had been born into my home. Oh, I made sure that we couldn't crawl, let alone walk. Nothing would hurt this. I carried him. Well, the only thing he knew, he didn't have to know a great vocabulary to know this. He didn't have to go to university to know this. He didn't need to talk and get language abilities to know this. He knew when he wanted milk. He didn't say, milk, please. He just said, rah! You know? And everybody knew, it's milk. Midnight. Oh. Well, if he didn't want milk, there would be trouble. But the one thing he knew he needed was milk, and he knew he'd get it when he said, milk time! Well, as newborn babes, God says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You don't know what to do, but the one thing God puts in you, if you really are his child, is a desire. You cannot. People say, how do I know if I'm saved? I say, can you get through a day without the Word of God? That you're not desperate, then I doubt that you're saved. Oh, if you're saved and you're born again now, you become God's child. This is where you grow. You grow by one thing as a child of God. One thing God gives as newborn babes, my children, who are born of God now, born again. Not a child of your mother and father anymore. Now you become my child. You've been born again by grace through faith in the blood of Christ. Now, child, just as I, oh, and we grow. Faith comes by the word of God. Sanctify them by by thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is what transforms us. This is what changes us. This is what God uses, and we grow. You remember when your child starts to stand? Ooh, now you're getting excited. He's getting strong. The milk was enough. Now he knows something. My little Noel, our firstborn, he stood there, you know. Now he's standing. He never let go. He always stood, but he was so proud of himself. I'm standing, you know. Shaking a bit, but anyway, he's standing, and you're looking, and you're more excited than him, I suppose. He's standing. He's about to walk. Now, you woo him on, you know. He doesn't have a great vocabulary, but he knows something about your eyes and something about what you're doing, that you want him to walk. So because of you, he does something he's never done before in his life. In faith in what you're calling him to do and wanting in your eyes, he dares. He dares because of you saying, walk, trust me. He lets go. And he takes a step. And there was no looking at me. Believing me, it's going to work. Another step. Another step. And here, oh, boom, it fell. Well, you know, it's the end of the world for a moment. But anyway, I didn't look at him and say, what? He fell! What sort of a child is this, you know? I don't want this child. I'm wiping my hands of him. He fell! What father would do that? You think God's any less than you? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on, doesn't matter. Come. You're gonna walk. I'm not gonna stop until you walk. Come. Trust me, come. Until you walk, I won't stop. Have faith now. Trust me, you're going to walk. I'm going to teach you. Fall or not, do you honestly think that the Heavenly Father is less compassionate and patient than you? And He is your Father, you know. Do you honestly think you're a better Father than Him? With more mercy? He knows when to chasten later on. He knows when to encourage. He knows when to give what you ask. How much more so your Father which is in heaven. Give good things. It's just a father. He's got a father heart. And you are the one he relates to. That's why your children can relate to God by what you were before they came to Christ. Because he's a father. Oh, God isn't going to give you up. You four, get up now. Come. I'm not giving you up. There's love in spite of faith. You tried to walk. Because I called you to walk. You fell, yes, but you tried. And I love you for that. Millions don't. They want their sin. Do you honestly think that someone of the millions, because only few of the billions, do try for me, out of love for me? Do you honestly think that if you fail, I'll throw you aside? How can you fear me like that, child? Is this whole book's cry. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. You know what that means, literally, the Greek? I have no shadow of a doubt. That means I won't allow even the smallest thought to come into my mind if God knows I'm trying. Even if a failure comes, the fact I try. I'm persuaded. I have no shadow of a doubt. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing. nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Isn't that lovely? Have you got this belief, this trust? I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Could you honestly say that from your heart to the glory of God? I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, the day of judgment. Are you persuaded? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor all we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus. We know we pass from death unto life. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, the love God wants you to have in Him. The love God demands and agonizes and is staggered that you don't on Him. Trust, faith. There is no fear in love, this love that God wants. Perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. In love, God can't do for you what He would have been able to. Until you have a perfect love that casts out all fear. That doesn't make you a Calvinist. That just happens to make you believe. Don't brand yourself when you put faith in God and stop fearing. Don't be fearful of being branded. Just make sure nobody brands you like I'm being sure no one dares brand me to be at something because I believe God more than any Calvinist. Trust me that I've ever met. But I'm still not a Calvinist. God will never be able to make you what He wants to until you stop fearing. And you place in Him a perfect trust that casts out all fear. Because he that feareth is not made perfect in love, God says. Oh, embrace the full work of Calvary by faith. To deal not only with the payment of sin, but the power of sin. To all of you who live in defeat, though you name the name of Jesus, I ask you this question here tonight. What shall we say then? Shall we continue further than tonight in sin, that grace may abound? Oh, how shall we that are dead to sin? If only you could be, by faith, reckon yourself dead, accept the fact by a perfect love that casts out all fear, that the full work of the cross will have its effect on you. And here is a baptism into death. How shall we that are dead to sin any longer therein? Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. There's this moment of absolute surrender, this moment of placing yourself on the altar, this moment. As I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as something of a dedication by faith for God to deliver you and deal, that sin will no longer reign in your mortal body and have dominion over you. Do not yield your members any longer as servants or resist the devil. When will you resist the devil in such a way that he will flee from you because of your faith? And yield yourselves so to God. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When will you obey that form of doctrine from the heart that's delivered to you and become made free from a life of dominion, of sin dominion over you, having dominion over you? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Yes, you yield your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity. Now, oh, that's something. Now yield yourselves to God. There's a moment, you know, when you renew your mind, you change your mind, and you turn and say, God, I believe. And no matter what happens, I believe thou wilt never, ever leave me nor forsake me, because thou hast promised me that.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.